We come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. And Lord, with everything going on around us, with everything going on in the world, we just stop for a moment to say thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that when we get frustrated, you're constant, God. Thank you that you're not moved by some of the things that we get moved by sometimes. Thank you that you're not worried or confused. Thank you that you're in complete control. And this morning, Lord, I pray that you will give each one of us a reminder, each one of us another revelation, deeper understanding into your love, into your goodness, into you being the good shepherd. We yield to you this morning. We praise you. We honor you forever. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scripture this morning is going to come out of St. Luke, Luke chapter 7, verse 9. Or excuse me, Luke chapter 7, verse 11. It's one of the scriptures that I love reading because it's when Jesus is about to perform an awesome miracle. Sometimes I think Jesus has miracles. It's like a level 1 to a level 10. And man, this is a level 10. And I understand it's just as easy for God to heal a sinus infection as it is for God to heal leukemia. He doesn't have a level or a degree of hardness, but sometimes I look at it that way just based off the situation or whatever it may be. But this morning, it's been a confusing week. It's been a week as we look at what's going on in Israel that absolutely breaks my heart. As we look what's going on across the globe, Christians suffering persecution, videos that I don't even care to talk about because it just shakes the core of what I believe. It shakes me in a place that sometimes I don't like to talk about. These people are facing death on every side, but I'll still see a group of people to give God glory, to give God praise. And it makes me look at my own faith. These people over in Israel are facing rockets. They're facing torment that a lot of us can't even possibly fathom, but they'll still give God glory. And I'm sitting over here worried about work or worried about my kids not doing this or whatever it may be. And it brings things back into focus. And as I began to think about these things the past few days, and as I began to talk to God about them, man, God in his goodness always sends me people. He always sends me a word that will help me refocus on what he wants me to look at. And I know right now with the news showing ungodly videos, showing us things that most of us would keep us up at night. I know it's hard to focus on what we're supposed to. And I encourage each one of us to pray for Israel, pray for Jerusalem, pray for the people of God, because I promise you one thing this morning, brothers and sisters, God is still in control. I'll say that God is still in control. A lot of times during the trials and tribulations that you and me face, we get so focused on them that we forget that God is still the orchestrator of it all. God can come in at any moment and intervene. And I want to encourage you with that, to know that God is still exactly who he says he is. Just because you or me may not understand, just because you or me may lose faith for a season or a moment or a second, know that God is not moved. God is not scared. God is not in a battle that he's worried that he's going to lose. God is still God. And I want to encourage you with that this morning. So as we jump into Luke chapter 7, verse 11, we have Jesus about to go into the city of Nain. Nain meaning green pastures, beautiful pastures. But right before this scripture is something that I probably one of my top three stories in the Bible. There's a centurion that wants somebody to be healed, and he goes to Jesus. And just for the sake of time, I'll give a brief explanation of it. He goes to Jesus and says, "Listen, I want you to heal somebody." And Jesus says, "Absolutely, let me come to your house." And the centurion says, "Listen, man, you don't have to do that." He said, "I'm a man." It's powerful to me. He says, "I'm a man like you in authority." And if I tell my men to do something, that they'll go accomplish it. All I need you to do is speak a word. And the Bible says that Jesus marvels at the man's faith, that he's not seen anything like it in all of Israel. And obviously Jesus performs the miracle, and it's a powerful moment, I believe. I believe Jesus is encouraged because this man has walked up to him and encouraged his faith. He's shown him something that he's never seen before in that land. So when Jesus is elated, Jesus is encouraged, he instantly goes into Nain and he faces another trial. Brothers and sisters, a lot of us, we're used to riding the roller coaster of life, that this morning we're encouraged in our faith, but by lunch we're beat down. We're beat down in the morning, but give us till lunch and we're God's man of power for the hour. That's how you say it. We ride this roller coaster that I believe God is wanting us to get off of. I don't believe God wants us happy in the morning and sad at lunch and happy on Sunday morning again. I believe he wants our faith strong, and he wants us to know that when we do face persecution or we do face something we don't understand, is not to run around screaming, I don't understand what God's doing, but it's to get back into his word and talk to his Father. One of the greatest frustrations of mine and my wife's life is when our son doesn't do something we ask or the teacher asks or whatever it may be. And we're like, Joshua, why didn't you do it? And he says, I didn't understand what to do. I was like, listen, all you had to do was ask the question. Hey, listen, teach, listen, mom, listen, dad, listen, whomever. I don't understand, and we'll be happy to give you guidance. But he, because he's nervous to ask the question, would rather face the consequences of not doing whatever he's supposed to do. Until yesterday, he tells me, Dad, we had a sub and I didn't understand what to do, so I asked the teacher a question. And I know for most people that's a simple thing, but for Joshua, it was a big deal. And I began to hug and praise my son last night, because he had a major victory in his life. And brothers and sisters, I promise you, with the trials facing the world, with all sorts of uncertainty going on in Israel at the very moment, it's okay not to understand. It's okay to feel like your faith is being tested. I promise you, it's okay. God is not disappointed in you. God is not let down by you, but he is wanting you to come back to him and say, God, I don't understand. God, I need some understanding. The Bible is extremely clear. It says, in all our getting, get understanding. God doesn't want us to be a people roaming around without a purpose. God wants you and me to know that his plans. He wants to whisper sweet revelations to us. He wants to show us what's going on. And at the times that he knows we're not ready to understand, he just wants us to stand in faith. In Luke chapter 7, verse 11, now it happened the day after. This will be the day after Jesus meets the centurion, and he's excited and he's strong in his faith, that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and a large crowd. Verse 12, and when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. Verse 13, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. That's a pretty powerful thing for Jesus to tell this woman, this widow that's lost everything. Especially back then, she needed a son to look after. She needed a son to take care of the family. She needed a man to do certain things, and she has lost it all. She doesn't have a husband. He's already died. She doesn't have any more children. She doesn't have a son that can take care of her for the future. She has lost everything. And a man named Jesus walks up to her and says, do not weep. The only reason I believe Jesus could walk up to a woman and tell her to do not weep, in other words, I believe he was saying, listen, don't focus on your loss. Focus on the man that stands in front of you. Focus on the Savior. Focus on the only one that can change this situation. Brothers and sisters, today and the rest of the days of your life, there is only one that can change your situation when all hope is gone. There is only one that can make that thing happen because it's impossible. Because the Bible says what seems impossible to you and me is possible with God. Brothers and sisters, I believe it's a reminder for you and me not to look at that dead thing in our lives. It's not to look at that thing that we've given up hope on. It's not to look at the job loss or the worry or things not going the way that you and me want them to go. It's not to look at the family member that's not coming back into the fold. It's not to look at the son or the daughter on drugs or the mom or dad that won't listen. It is simply to focus on Jesus. Because if we can focus on Jesus, then we can focus on the fact that he loves us, that he died for us, that he was sent to us to die for our sins and on the third day to resurrect again. You see, brothers and sisters, this morning, we have two choices before us. We can focus on all hell breaking loose in Israel, or we can focus on the one that made Israel. We can focus on the one that is in control, or we can focus on all these terrorists and Hamas and all these people doing ungodly, terrible, awful things and allow that to shake the foundation of our faith. You see, this morning we have a choice. We can weep or we can believe. And I believe Jesus was telling this woman, listen, I know that you've lost everything, but I'm on the scene now. And when I'm here, everything changes. Brothers and sisters, that drug addict, that person that has all sin in their life, no matter what they've done, when Jesus comes into their life, everything changes. When Jesus comes into their life and when God will speak a word to you or me, everything changes. It has to. You see, yesterday, I got a text message from my sister. And the text message was the picture of an empty NICU room at the hospital. You see, 10 years and 40 days ago, our son Joshua was in that NICU bed. When Joshua was born, he was, I'm sure many of you know, he was premature. He was born several weeks early. And long story short, when we were there about 15, 20 days, God had told me to just pretty much relax that Joshua would be coming home, even though he had wires coming out of everywhere, even though they would check on him 100 times a day. God whispered to me, he said, listen, he'll come home on day 40. It's not something you want to hear as a parent. But it was at that moment that I either had to believe God or believe everything that I was seeing in our child. Wires coming out, breathing crazy, holding his breath, doing things that obviously the doctors and me and Alex didn't approve of, so to speak. But when my sister sent me that text message and sent several of us that text message, it instantly reminded me that I was in a position like this lady that had just lost her son. No, we hadn't lost our son, but we were in a bad situation. But God came on the scene and said, listen, don't worry, in 40 days your son will come home. He can't come home until day 40 because I'm trying to show you something. You see, the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness on an 11-day journey. You see, Jesus walked around in the wilderness for 40 days. You see, the number 40 in the Bible says it pretty much means that you're facing a significant spiritual challenge. And you see, this morning I can testify to the fact that I didn't have to worry about the wires or what the doctor was saying because the one that created that little boy said he was coming home. And this morning, brothers and sisters, if God has spoken something to you, you don't have to worry about what everybody else is saying. You don't have to worry about how it's going to happen or make it happen yourself. God is faithful. God is a God of love. God is a God that is in love with you and me. And he deems us worthy enough to send his only begotten son to die for us. That is good news this morning. So when I look at Hamas and I look at all hell breaking loose in Israel and Jerusalem this morning, I can attest to the fact that God is good. That's a hard thing to say, and I don't understand everything going on over there, and I don't understand why it has to happen the way that it's happening, but I promise you, God is still in control. I don't say that loosely. I say that because I've seen too many times God be in control. This morning, God is in control, and God wants to remind you and me that he's got everything covered. We just have to believe. How many times have we seen God perform miracles and make crooked paths straight and bring things about that we never thought possible? And we worried the whole time. And when we got to the end of the situation, we felt foolish for worrying the whole time. I can testify this morning that I do it all the time. I'll say, oh God, what if this don't happen? Or if this does happen, and play all these different scenarios. And when the time gets here, God's made the miracle happen, and I feel foolish. I'm like, man, what did I gain by worrying? What did I gain by trying to play God or trying to play architecture or architect of the situation? What did I gain? And the Bible says that I gained absolutely nothing. I would actually think I lost a lot of things. I lost a lot of peace. I lost a lot of rest. I lost some faith. Thank God I got it back. I lost some things in the situation. And this morning, Jesus walks up to this woman that has just lost literally everything that she could ever hope for in life. And he says, do not weep, because he wanted her focused on him. Verse 14, then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. Verse 15, so he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. What a powerful story. Jesus went into this place that was named Nain, literally meaning green pastures. And he found a dead situation, and it didn't move him at all. He walked right into that situation, told the woman, do not weep, and performed a miracle by bringing that young man back to life. And what I love more than anything about the story, the Bible says that Jesus took the young man back to his mother and presented him to her. Brothers and sisters, in closing this morning, God is not done. He's not done with you. He will not just perform that one miracle and leave you there and leave you to figure it out for yourself. If you're trying to figure it out for yourself, I want to give you a great word of encouragement to let you to know that you can't do it. You and I don't have that kind of power. You and I don't have that ability alone. But with the Spirit of the living God, we can do those things. But we have to get to a point that we lean on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love that Jesus took the man, the young man back to his mom, because I believe that means that when Jesus performs a miracle, he won't leave us there, that he'll be faithful to make sure that he brings us back to a point of something that we loved before. I believe it's a good representation to show us things that we thought were dead or weren't going to happen, that Jesus would be so careful with details to make sure that he brought them back together again for the glory of God. God is exactly who he says he is. But sometimes we get in our own way. I don't know if I told y'all a couple weeks ago, I think everybody knows that I love vacuum cleaners, because I do. But I had bought my sister and my brother-in-law a vacuum cleaner, a Dyson. And obviously, I believe the Lord told me to buy me one also. Maybe not the Lord, but I did buy me one. And when the two items shipped, apparently one of them got stolen in the shipping process, and it was a big ordeal, whatever. So I called Dyson, and they send me another one. So a couple days, so I have the two and gave the one to my brother-in-law and my sister. And so a couple days ago, I actually get another Dyson. And I was like, hallelujah. But no, I knew they accidentally sent it to me. So I called Dyson I sent them an email because I had a direct link to one of the people or whatever. So I let them know, I'm like, listen, I know you guys accidentally sent me an extra one. What do we need to do to get this back to you? The first lady tells me, the email says, sir, you're wrong. You're wrong. We just sent you the items that you're supposed to get. And I'm like, ma'am, I did not pay for this. This is expensive. I paid for two and I have three. I was like, listen, can somebody call me? Because I think that's a better form of communication than email. I hate emails, even though I have to do it. So the next person tells me, sir, we still think you're wrong. So long story short, I've dealt with several people and they keep telling me how wrong I am. And finally, one person says, sir, maybe you could send us a picture or all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, listen, guys, I want you to call me. And I was frustrated, and I am frustrated. I finally said, listen, if y'all want this thing back, I've got it. Call me, and I can make that happen. But as I began to think about it and talk to God about it and just, I guess assess the whole situation, God instantly spoke a word to me, and he said, Alan, that's the same thing you'll do sometimes. You'll be so conflicted with the problem that you can't receive what I'm trying to give to you. You see, Dyson is so concerned with the problem. They're so concerned with checking the boxes. They're so concerned with not listening to me that they can't receive the blessing that I'm trying to give back to them. You see, they've lost something that belongs to them. They've lost something of value, and I'm trying to give it back to them, but they're so busy trying to work the problem that they can't receive what I'm trying to give to them. Brothers and sisters, we're like that with God this morning. We're so busy trying to check A, B, C, and D that we can't receive the blessing of the Father. We can't receive what God is trying to speak to us because we're trying to control the situation. I told Dyson to call me, and they've not been willing to do that yet. How many times has God told us just to come to him in prayer, and that's where he'll give us the miracle. That's where he'll give us the blessing. That's where he'll give us that thing of value back. You see, you and I have not lost anything of value as long as we're willing to go back to the Father and say, God, your will, not my will. God, you orchestrate the situation. God, you fix it. God, you be the one that performs the miracle. And that's what I've had to learn through my experience with Dyson, is to say, God, you treat that situation in Israel however you want to treat it, because I know that you're good and I know that you're love. And God, you can't be anything but love. It's just who you are. And when I can say that back to him, that gives me confidence. That gives me a peace that surpasseth all understanding. But you and I sometimes are so busy working a problem that God's trying to give us the solution. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I know we're facing a lot. I know that there's a lot of confusion and a lot of hectic things going on. But I promise you, if you will be willing to accept what God is trying to do for you and me in whatever shape, form, or manner it comes in, then man, there's great things on the horizon for you and me. God loves us. God is insanely in love with you and me. We are beloved. We are strong and we are forgiven. And don't let the enemy tell you anything different. Let's pray. God, we yield to you this morning, and I thank you, God. I thank you for the understanding that just like Dyson, Lord, that we get so tied up in our own thoughts and problems and solutions that sometimes we miss the thing of value or the blessing coming our way. God, we thank you this morning for everything that you're doing in Israel. And God, that's a hard thing to say sometimes. Lord, I don't understand, and God, maybe many of us don't understand everything going on, but Lord, I pray for your people. I pray for their protection. Lord, I loose angels all around them, and I pray, God, for you to get the glory. God, I pray for their safety. I pray for their well-being. I pray that you will touch people's hearts to bring them food and water and shelter and the things that they may need. Lord, this morning we thank you that you are here, that you're always here to love us and forgive us and take care of us. And God, we declare this day that we will not weep, that we will be like the widow and look at you for all answers. We'll look at you because you are the one that can bring about the miracles. And God, by faith, we pray these things in you, believing them to be done because of your goodness, because of your love. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.